Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Daniel chapter 2. We're going to try to finish the chapter tonight. Just by way of review, let me remind you that the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. He called all his advisors together. He said, tell me the dream. Tell me what it means. If you do, I'll give you riches and honor. If you don't, I'll cut you to pieces and tear your houses down. Of course, no one could. They said, hey, no king's ever asked this. Tell us what you dreamed and we'll tell you what it means. But he said, no, I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed, because if you can't tell me what I dreamed, I don't believe you can tell me what it means. So tell me both. And they couldn't, of course. And so he passed the decree and told one of his lieutenants, or one of the people that waited on him, to go gather up all the wise men and kill them. Of course, Daniel wasn't there in the group of wise men that he made that initial demand to. And so when the servant that was charged with killing all the wise men came and said, hey, I got to round you up with the rest of them. The king's decree is that everybody be killed. Daniel said, why? And the servant told him. And Daniel went in before the king. Now remember, he was taken captive from his home. He was immersed in Babylonian culture, trained in their languages, and ate their diets and all that. And at the end of their testing, or their training period, they had a time of testing and came before the king. And if you remember the end of chapter 1, the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar found Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 10 times wiser than all the other wise men in the kingdom. And so I think that sort of gave Daniel an in with the king. And so when Daniel came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, if you'll give me more time, if you'll just give me a little time, I'll tell you what you dreamed and I'll tell you what it means. And King Nebuchadnezzar agreed. And so Daniel went back to his three friends and said, hey, we need to pray. We need to pray that God will tell us what the king dreamed and what it means. And so they went to prayer. God answered that prayer. Very specifically, he answered that prayer. He let Daniel dream the same dream that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and then told Daniel what it meant. And so Daniel went in before the king and said, hey, you don't have to kill all the wise men. I can tell you what you dreamed. And I can tell you what it means. He said, you had a dream about a great image, a statue. His head was made out of gold. Breast and arms were made out of silver. The belly and the thighs were made out of brass. Legs were made out of iron. The feet were made out of iron and clay, mixed together but not joined together. And then in your dream, you saw a stone, a large stone that was heavenly in origin. It was not made with man's hands, the Bible says. It hit the image, the statue that you dreamed about, in the feet, and the stone hit the statue with such force that every part of it was pulverized. The metals turned to powder. The wind came and blew the powder away, and then the stone became a great mountain that filled the earth. And so that's where we left off last week, with Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. We start in verse 36 tonight, where the Bible says, Daniel chapter 2, verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Now again, Daniel earned the right to interpret the dream in Nebuchadnezzar's eyes by telling Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. It says in verse 37, thou, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And again, Nebuchadnezzar had confidence that Daniel was telling him the truth when he interpreted the dream, because he had told him what he dreamed. So Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw in your dream a statue. The head was made out of gold. That's you. That's you. That represents your kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar ruled the then known world. And no one questioned his authority. No one questioned his power. He had an absolute lock on the world at that point. Daniel said, hey, you're king of kings. There is no king greater than you. He said, the God of heaven, the one that told me what you dreamed and what it means, the God of heaven gave you this kingdom. You remember last week we talked about when Daniel praised the Lord. as after the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel. Daniel said, "You're the God that sets up kings and takes down kings." And so Daniel reminded Nebuchadnezzar, the God of heaven. Now, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen king. They worshipped idols in Babylon, lots of them. Okay, they did not have anything to do with the God of heaven. They did not have anything to do with the God of the Jews. They did not have anything to do with the God of Daniel. And so when Nebuchadnezzar came across Daniel, and Daniel started talking about his God and the God of heaven, it was probably Nebuchadnezzar's first real, I mean, he may have heard about it before. I mean, he tore down the temple in Jerusalem. I mean, he carried back all the gold and the silver that was in the temple. And so he may have had some contact with it, but this was real, his real first contact with somebody that was trying to tell him about the King of Heaven. And so he said, the God of Heaven has given you this kingdom. You're only this King of Kings, and you only have this kingdom because the God of Heaven has given it to you. He's given you your power. He's given you your strength and all the glory that you have. And Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of glory. Remember, I mentioned last week, one of the things that he built was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It was one of the six wonders of the world back in its day. It was just beautiful. Hanging gardens, I mean, built on the side of a hill. If you've seen paintings of it, you know how beautiful it is. But he said, Daniel said, King Nebuchadnezzar, you only have this glory because the God of heaven gave it to you. Now again, Nebuchadnezzar had no respect for the God of heaven, had nothing to do with the God of heaven, with Daniel's God. But he was going to encounter him. I mean, God was going to interact, so to speak, with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, in the next chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is going to build a statue. He's going to command everybody to bow down to it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And one of our men Sunday wanted to know, Pastor, where was Daniel when everybody was gathered around the statue and those three Hebrew boys were there and they didn't bow down? Where was their buddy Daniel? I told him he was probably in his bedroom praying. I don't know where he was. Bible doesn't mention it. But Nebuchadnezzar was going to interact with the God of heaven again after he cast those three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace and looks in there and they're not burned. And he sees a fourth guy in there. He says, looks like, now remember, this is a heathen king that had nothing to do with the Jewish God. The fourth one looks like the Son of God. Don't tell me the Bible isn't true. Don't tell me the Bible isn't true when it says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. If Nebuchadnezzar could look in a fiery furnace and see a fourth one walking around in that servant said he looks like the Son of God, don't you know the world's going to recognize the Son of God when he comes? And so he's going to encounter the God of heaven in chapter 3. He's going to encounter the God of heaven in chapter 4. When God takes away his reason and he goes out and lives with the animals for a number of seasons, and then God restores that reason and gives him his kingdom back. And again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but at the end of chapter 4, this heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, says, I praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, the God of Heaven, Daniel's God. And so God was reaching out to this heathen king. We think about Daniel and his three buddies that were carried into captivity. Now again, God used the Babylonians to punish the Jews for their turning away from him. He gave them warning after warning after warning to turn back to him. They ignored the warnings. And God prophesied, okay, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And the Babylonians were the ones that came, destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the temple, tore down the walls, took some of the Jewish people back to Babylon. Daniel was there, and his three friends were there because of God's punishment. But God used them to witness to this heathen king. I had somebody ask me a couple weeks ago, you think Nebuchadnezzar was saved as people were saved in the Old Testament? I don't know. He certainly had every opportunity. I mean, he interacted with the God of heaven three different times, and in a miraculous way, God showed that he was God. So maybe, I don't know if he was or not. And so he said, King, thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise, verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. So there, the second part of the statue was going to be a second kingdom, and it's going to be inferior to you. That was the Medes and the Persians empire. Okay, so the belly, or so the breast and the arms of silver was the Medes and the Persians, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And so the belly and thighs of brass, that was the Greek and Macedonian empire, okay? So the head of gold was Babylon. The breast and arms of silver were the Medes and the Persians, who took over after the Babylonians. We read about that in chapter 5. When the hand came right and when the hand wrote on the wall. And then the belly and thighs of brass were the Greco and the Macedonian Empire. Now look at verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miring clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So the fourth kingdom, represented by the legs of iron, the feet of iron clay, was the kingdom of Rome, was the Roman Empire. Iron represents strength and brute force and brutality. And Daniel said there, as he was interpreting the dream, just like iron breaketh and subdueth all things, so shall the fourth kingdom break and subdue all things. And that's what the Roman Empire did. It was a very brutal kingdom. It took over the world, so to speak, as their armies marched around the world. And again, it was divided. Two legs, 10 toes, iron and clay. Rome was an empire marked by strength and brute force and brutality, but it broke apart. And there really has not been another kingdom, a worldly kingdom like Rome, since Rome. It still exists. The Roman Empire still exists in the nations of Western Europe. But they do not have the strength that the Roman Empire did, hence the toes, part strong, part weak, but not mixed together. There are some countries that are part of the European Union that are strong. There are some that are very weak, but they have a hard time agreeing on anything. Just like we have different factions in the United States of America. Different countries in Europe have different factions. In fact, in the countries, they have different factions. You heard about recently part of Spain tried to succeed, and they arrested all the people that wanted to succeed. And so Daniel said, there's four kingdoms. You're the first. Three's going to follow. And the three that come after you are not going to be as good as you. In fact, they get worse and worse as time goes on. That's shown by the quality of metal. So gold is finer than silver, silver finer than brass, brass finer than iron. It's shown by the positions of the different body parts. The head has more honor than the feet, so to speak. In verse 39, it says, another kingdom inferior to thee. And so Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, there's not going to be a kingdom like yours. And again, the reason that God revealed this dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he was the world ruler, and he had questions about what was going to happen after he was gone. What was his legacy going to be? How long was Babylon going to last? Well, it wasn't going to last very long. Didn't last past his grandson. And again, just the division. So one head, but then you had two arms, and then two legs, and ten toes. And so Daniel said, this is what the dream means. God has answered your question, as to what your legacy or what's going to come after you by showing you this statue, and the different parts of the statue made up of the different metals represent different kingdoms that are going to come after you. Now, look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, again, the God of heaven, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So that kingdom, verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so Daniel said, there's going to be another kingdom. This kingdom's going to be set up by God. Of course, this is the kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to establish on the earth. Man's going to rule the earth, but when Jesus comes, and again, the second time when he comes to set up his kingdom, he is going to rule. He will prevail. It will not be a kingdom that passes to another because it will last for eternity. It will consume all the kingdoms of the earth, and it will stand forever. And again, Nebuchadnezzar, you can be sure that your dream is true, and you can be sure that the interpretation is true, because it doesn't come from me. It comes from the God of heaven, the one that sets up kings and sets down kings. He's the one that puts you in your position. He's the one that's going to set up the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and then he's going to establish his. Now, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Now, just stop and think about that for a minute. Here was a king that ruled the world, was a little arrogant, had a problem with anger at times. And yet, here he was, fallen down on his face before one of his servants who he had carried captive away from his home. He fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. They said, the king commanded that others offer sacrifices, offerings to Daniel. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, now listen to this, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods. Now he and then come to the point where he said he's the only God, but that he is the God, capital G, of gods, little g, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. And so again, here's a heathen king, probably his first close encounter with the God of heaven, trying to worship the one that told him about God, and then declaring that God is a God of God, a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man. So again, he had found him 10 times wiser. He was already part of his cabinet. But he gave Daniel greater position and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And so he was next in line to King Nebuchadnezzar and chief of the governors and over all the wise men of Babylon. So he not only took over the political part of the kingdom in that he was the ruler besides Nebuchadnezzar. All the governors reported to him. And then the wise men, the council that the king turned to get his advice from, Daniel was put in charge of all of them, okay? Verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so he got his three buddies positions as well to help him rule. Now, again, keep that in mind when we come back together next week and we talk about the statue that Nebuchadnezzar set up and these three guys didn't bow down to. They were in position of leadership. They were put there by Nebuchadnezzar at Daniel's request. They were in position of leadership Nebuchadnezzar could not let them stand because they were part of his ruling council, so to speak. They were in charge of things, and yet they rebelled against him when he said, bow to the statue, and they said, oh, no, we're not. Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So he probably was in the justice system as well. Maybe he was, in our terminology, he may have been justice of the Supreme Court, because matters were of justice or law was heard in the gate back in those days. Daniel was put, he had a very prominent position in King Nebuchadnezzar's court, in King Nebuchadnezzar's empire, so to speak. And again, it was a world empire. And so Daniel went from being carried captive away from his home, probably as an older teenager, okay, to a foreign country, and in a matter of months rose to be second in command to Babylon, a world empire, all because he stayed true to God. It would have been very easy for him to get bitter. It would have been very easy for him to get mad at God and say, why'd you let me be carried away from my parents? Why'd you let me be carried away to this foreign land? They don't eat the same kind of food. They don't worship the same gods. They don't speak the same language. Why? Sometimes we ask that question of God when things come into our life that we don't understand. And God, even though, again, they were there because of the Jews turning away from God, they were there because they were being punished. Inside of that punishment, God used these four young men to stand for him and to be a witness, to Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that if they were a witness to Nebuchadnezzar, there were a lot of people in that court that they were a witness to too. And probably when we get to heaven, if I always think when I get to heaven, I know I got a list of questions I want to ask different people. I don't know if I'll remember them when I get there or not, or it won't make any difference. I'll be with Jesus and won't care about all the questions I had. But if I remember, I'm going to ask those four guys, well, how many people did you turn to God? How many people did you influence? I mean, again, they decided they were going to stand for God regardless of the cost, and God used them in a mighty, mighty way in a very not very good environment. I mean, they were in the middle of a heathen culture, and God used them in a mighty, mighty way to turn people, even the king, toward the God of heaven. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer.